So, Father, we just thank you, and we just praise you, Lord. And we give you thanks, Lord, for I was just reflecting back today on where I was 5 years ago and where I was 10 years ago and where I am now. And looking back at hanging with my natural family and now on the conference call and with the local fellowship and that, just being around people that truly love you and want to talk about you and want to lift you up, and the conversations are you know, based around just fellowshipping in Christ. And it's an awesome thing. And I just remember sitting around with the family, you know, eating turkey in front of the football game, and you know, and that was the discussion of its day. It was football, and now it's the Lord. And I just think that's so awesome, and just to be able to come together and just give you praise for what you're doing in our lives, and just allowing Christ to manifest through us, and we just thank you for that, Lord. And Father, we just ask you to bless tonight, that you just let us praise you tonight, let us thank you tonight, let us exalt you tonight, and just all the things that you've done in our lives. And just guide and direct us. We just come against any distractions, any issues with the hardware or with the bandwidth or any issues. We just bind up the enemy. We forbid it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you, and let us glorify you tonight. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yeah, we're just today. We just kind of opened up the house for anybody that wanted to come over, you know, anybody that wasn't going out of town or going to be with family or anything like that. And I really don't know. We had 30 or 40 people here, and it was just an awesome time. Everybody, we made it like a pot blessing. I cooked up a couple turkeys, and we just had, you know, we just kind of coordinated and had a few people bring, you know, potatoes and, you know, rolls and all these things, and it really turned out to be just an awesome day of fellowshipping and just enjoying fellowshipping in the Lord. And I was really looking back at what it used to be like as far as with, you know, with my family, and I mean, there were times we would sit around the table and eat Thanksgiving, but towards the latter years, it was, you know, grab your plate and get in front of the big screen television, and we would literally eat, you know, our Thanksgiving dinner. You know, I remember going to my sister's house, and everybody sitting there Thanksgiving dinner on their laps with the big game on, and it was, you know, it's just such a, you know, in my life, it's just where I was at, where I'm at now, and just the peace I've got, and knowing who I am in Christ, and you know, back then it was trying to impress people, and you know, dealing with all kinds of insecurities, and even before that, it was just a time to, just another day off from work to, you know, eat and get drunk and watch football or whatever it was, and how things change. So I was really praising the Lord as far as just seeing how he's just really worked in my life, and what used to be so important is no longer important, and just how important it is just to have, you know, people like you guys that we can come together and just share the love of Christ and share together and that. So it was kind of neat. So But anyways, does anybody need prayer or would like to lift somebody up in prayer or pray about anything? I'll share one kind of neat thing that happened was I was cooking two turkeys, and I decided, you know, I was going to cook one last night and cook the other one, you know, today. So I threw the turkey in yesterday afternoon, and I went in to baste the turkey, and I pulled the turkey out, and I'm basting the turkey, and I heard something. I thought something splashed onto the burner of that, and I was hearing this weird noise, and I looked down, and also there was a section of the burner that was glowing just totally white. And I'm thinking, wow, did I just, you know, I knew I didn't, you know, it might have been, you know, there might have been a little drip or something, but, you know, but that's what I was hearing. And then all of a sudden, it just started spewing out sparks. And I, you know, I think there was even like a flame on it or something like that. But this thing, all of a sudden, I just had to shut the oven off. And, you know, and the whole thing just, you know, just died down. Then I turned the oven back on and it wouldn't come back on. And this is 4:45. And I'm thinking the turkey's not even halfway done. And I've got another turkey to cook and I don't have an oven. And I remember there was another brother that had called a local hardware store. And I didn't know. I just remember him mentioning that he had picked up a. I need to shut this off. Anyways, he'd picked up a part for his oven, as far as at this local hardware store. And I just called him up, and I said, hey, I need an element for a GE stove. And they asked me the model number. I gave it to him, and they put me on hold. Came back and says, yep, we got it. But we're closing in 10 minutes. And I said to him, I says, hey, I've got a turkey in the oven. I really need to get this oven fixed. Somebody keeps trying to call me here. Anyways, so they said, I said, it'll take me 10 or 15 minutes to get there. You know, I mean, we live in the middle of nowhere, so I'm amazed that this store even had it. So I ran out, I jumped in my truck, I ran to the store, and they're waiting at the door for me. And I went in, I looked at it, and I said, "Yeah, that's it." And I ended up paying for them. I mean, they had the cash drawer out; they were ready to go home. And so I was able to get the part, came in, put it in, and I was able to finish, you know, cooking the turkey. And I was just thinking, like, that was the Lord the whole way. Because I'd seen at one point in the past that part of the burner seemed a little brighter than the rest, but I didn't think anything of it. But if I would have basted that turkey 10 minutes later, that place would have been closed, and it wouldn't have happened. But it was like it happened right when I opened up the oven, and I looked down, and you know, and I basically saw it just totally burn out. And so I thought I was like, praise the Lord. And for this, I mean, we live in the middle of nowhere. For this place to have that part, I was just in total amazement. So I was able to get it repaired and get the turkey done and end up, you know, being able to, you know, cook the other bird today. So it was kind of neat. So I give the Lord praise for that, and which I thought was kind of neat. So does anybody else have any praise report or any thanks you want to lift up to the Lord as far as on today?
We need to pray for Sandy and her mama.
Okay.
Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I lift up Sandy's mother to you, Lord. She's lost her husband of 67 years, and it's a part of her, Lord, and She's feeling a lot of pain and a lot of confusion. I'm hearing a feedback. She's feeling a lot of pain and confusion, and there's no peace in her heart. Lord, I ask and I pray that you would give her a vision or a dream of her husband, Gilbert, in heaven with you, Lord, and that would settle her down. And Father, we just thank you for that, for placing that peace in her heart to know that Gilbert's okay. He's with you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that. And we command any kind of confusion from the enemy in her brain to cease your activities right now in Jesus' name. I bind up every spirit that's coming against her in the name of Jesus, and I cast you off of her. Father, I thank you for that wall of protection around her, Lord, that hedge of protection that only you can do, Lord, to keep the enemy away from her in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for putting that peace, joy, and rest in her heart, Lord, that Gilbert's all right. He's with you. And I thank you for that, Lord, and place it in her heart to come back with Sandy when she goes out there in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I have a prayer too.
Okay, go ahead, Wade.
For my wife, she's having digestive problems, constipation. And for myself, my diabetes is acting up. I have some lesions on my leg that aren't healing. And not good. But I'm believing God is going to heal both of us of diabetes. She's just come down with diabetes. I think the fear you... She feared so much seeing what I go through with diabetes that she had a terror against diabetes. Now she has it, and she's not in bad shape. Like, she doesn't have blood sugar problems like I do, but she does have a problem. So I need prayer for her digestive system, and for my legs, and for our faith, that our faith would not falter. We're both praying that God will deliver us from diabetes. And me from these lesions. It started out, I scratched my leg, and now the skin just is starting to come off, and it's very red, it's burning sensation, which is good that I feel. I can still feel, so there's hope there. It's when you can't feel, that's when there's real trouble. But I hope that will come. So, I need prayer for those things.
All right. So, so Father, right now we just we lift up Jeanette to you, Lord, and we just call whatever issue she's having with her digestive tract. We just speak to that now, and we call it healed in the name of Jesus. We just call that whole tract to work the way you designed it. We just forbid any restrictions or anything in there. We just call it just a total healing over it right now, that it will line up with the Word of God. And we just thank you, Lord, that it is healed in Jesus' name. And Father, we know that you've already delivered them from diabetes. And we just come against these symptoms. We come against these lesions on Wade's leg, and we just speak to them right now. We call them to be healed in the name of Jesus. And just total healing, that they'll quit opening up, and they'll be totally healed in Jesus' name. And I command that blood sugar to be in balance now in the name of Jesus. And we just call just total balance in their bodies, in the, you know, their blood, in their chemistry. And we just thank you for that, that they were healed at the cross. And we just come against these symptoms now, and we forbid them in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I also wanted to give thanks to God for my neighbor's wife. Came home for a visit, which she was not able to do until now, after having had a stroke. And she's pretty much paralyzed up and seized up, but she's doing much better. And he's believing for her healing, complete healing, that she would recover. And I'm believing with him. She has a long way to go, but she was doing much better than she was. She was just a vegetable just about for the last several months. But she's now doing much better. She recognizes people. She recognized me, and she was able to talk. So I'm blessed with that, and I thank God for that. Because it wasn't looking good for a long time. And now she's recovering somewhat. Thank God for her healing.
And what is her name?
Her name is Loretta Logan.
Loretta? Okay.
Loretta.
So, Father, right now we thank you for just the manifestations of healing in Loretta, Lord, and we just are believing that she's going to be totally restored. We come against any of these other symptoms right now, and we just call healing into that body right now, and we just give you the praise, Lord, and we just thank you that she's able to talk. We just call just perfect speech into her, Lord, and we just thank you for that, Lord. We just put our faith together with Wade and Jeanette, and we just thank you for just a total healing manifestation for Loretta, and we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Because I think I might have caught the feedback.
Oh, that's all right.
Hey, Wade.
Hold on. Okay.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, this is Michael. Hey, have you ever read The Tongue Conquers the Curse?
I read it when it was first out, when you first put it on the internet. I think it might have had a different name then, or I don't know. But I haven't been doing much reading lately on the internet, but... I read The Tongue Conquers the Curse, yes.
Yeah, well, The Tongue Conquers the Curse talks about the...
I know I'm supposed to be speaking faith.
Yeah, well, I heard you say my diabetes. Well, we prayed for that a few weeks back. It's not yours. It's give it back to the devil. That's who wants it and who needs it. So you don't have it. You might have a symptom come up, and you rebuke that symptom, but you don't have diabetes because we prayed for it. Tim just got through praying for it. And also your wife doesn't have it. We prayed for her as well. You made the statement that my wife now has diabetes. No, she doesn't. You start speaking as God wants you to speak. And that is, look, I don't have this. I don't want it. I'm not going to receive it in Jesus' name. I command it to go from me, and don't open up a door. Because when you say my diabetes, that devil says, oh, there's my gate. I can jump right back in there on him and bring him back down with that diabetes. That's double-mindedness. And so we talk against that. You speak against diabetes. You say, nope, I don't have it. I'm not going to receive that. Not going to receive these symptoms. And when I get on the conference call tonight, we're going to pray against them symptoms because I don't have it. My wife don't have it. I'm not going to be double-minded and say that I have it because I don't, because the word says I don't. It says in 1 Peter 2:23 that by his stripes I was healed, were healed. I was healed 2,000 years ago. I ain't got to put up with this mess. And I'm not going to put up with it. So, Satan, you might as well pack up your stuff and get on out of here. And that's the way that's actually the way you got to go after this thing. Make sure that you speak according to what the word says and not what the natural mind likes to talk, you know. We've been brought up to speak that way all these many years. Now we've got to relearn our mind and our mouth to start speaking like the Lord wants us to. So, brother, we're gonna keep on praying, and that thing's got to go, doesn't it?
Amen.
Amen, brother. God bless you. You and Jeanette both. Y'all are healed in Jesus' name.
We're healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All that which is not as though it were. Yeah. The verse in the Bible about Abraham.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Mute me.
Well, okay. All right, anybody else need prayer or have a testimony or would like to just give the Lord thanks about something?
Yeah, Tim.
Hey, Marlon.
Yeah, I'd just like to give the Lord thanks for everything He's done throughout our lives. I mean, as we look around, we go to nursing homes now to visit people, and we go to hospitals, and we see family and friends, and even, you know, some of them are a lot younger than us, and they've got really bad health problems. And not that we don't ever have any trials to go through, because we go through trials just like everybody else, but I just really thank the Lord for what He's done in us and what He's given us through our life and with our family and just everything, because we know it all comes from Him. And just give Him the praise and glory.
Amen.
Amen, Martin. I'd like to do the same thing. Father, we've left family, we've left friends, we've left so-called a whole lifestyle to go after the Lord with all our hearts. And Father, You have given us new family. You have given us new friends, true friends, friends who really love us. And we're just so thankful of that, God. We're just so thankful, Lord, that You have brought us in here and showed us what true love is and what true family members are, because You've linked our hearts together. You've brought us together with that golden cord. You've sewed us all together and bringing us into that one accord. And Father, I just thank You so much for doing that for those of us who have in the outer and the local, both, Lord, that have given up everything to follow You, Lord. And I thank You for blessing us with each other's love and Your love that goes through us to each other. Praise You, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You, Lord.
Amen. Amen, amen. I talked to my sister. She'd called me, and she shared her daughter, who's about 21, moved out and moved in with another friend, and my sister's Catholic, but she's, you know, she really, she's got a good foundation, you know, as far as for a family. She just, you know, doesn't have a, you know, real foundation with the Lord, and everything is, you know, it's kind of in the natural, but, you know, she does a pretty good job with her kids and stuff like this. And, you know, this is her oldest, just moved out, and, you know, it's the first one that left the house, and apparently she's been out for, you know, 2-3 weeks or something. And she came home the other day, and she's just telling her mom just how difficult is it, you know, just she didn't realize, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, she came over to get toilet paper because she didn't have enough money to buy toilet paper. And she's really seeing what it's, you know, what life is all about, you know, trying to, you know, pay for food and utilities and all that. And I guess the girl she moved in with is a total slob and doesn't wash a dish, doesn't do anything, doesn't pick up anything. And you know, so she's just kind of sharing with my sister all these things. And then she told my sister, she says, "Mom, I just want to thank you and Dad for raising me the way you raised me, because what I'm realizing is most of my friends' parents are all hooked on drugs." And she said, you know, majority of my friends' parents are all hooked on drugs and still smoking pot, doing coke, you know, all these different things, even meth and stuff like that. And it really shocked my sister as far as that, to hear that. But it's just reality. And there's a lady in our fellowship that works with, you know, she kind of volunteers, and she's working with inmates and she works with a program that works with mainly women, but you know, there is some other aspects of it where they work with, you know, with men. But there's like a most of what she, you know, she tries to help out with is helping the women coming out of being incarcerated get back into society, and you know, she's working with them to write resumes and how to interview and just talking about you know, just aspects of getting your life together and stuff like that. And this lady is a pretty young Christian and doesn't have a real depth of the word, but just loves Jesus. I mean, God has just really transformed her. And she's had just, I mean, she's gone through a lot of trials with her family. Just coming against, you know, just total faction going through her family and her family coming against her and her beliefs and all these things and coming against her husband. And she's really been through a lot, but she's really reaching out in the community and reaching out to these women and just doing a lot of different things with inmates and that. And the story she shares with me, it's the same thing. It's these inmates, you know, which are, you know, probably in their late 20s to, you know, mid-30s is who she's working with. They all grew up with their parents doing drugs with them when they were 12, 14 years old. And their parents are still doing drugs. I mean, you know, there's a big problem with their parents are actually bringing drugs to them in jail. And they're in jail because of drugs. And they're not, like, when they come out, they have programs where they work out in the community and that. And she, and this lady works with them, and she's not supposed to allow their family to come see them when they're out because of them giving them drugs and taking them back into the prison. And, I mean, she's just sharing some of these stories, and it's just amazing where society is today. And that was kind of the reason I was reflecting back, is I was just going back, you know, over, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years and really seeing where I'm at, you know, where I was at. And I really know, and I don't know why, but I just know that if I didn't get saved, if there wasn't that radical change in my life, I know that I wouldn't be alive right now. I just know that, for, you know, there's something in me that just knows that, because I was on such a degrading point in my life. And so I look back, and I grew up in a house that didn't have the Lord, but I had decent parents. I mean, there was some love there. I mean, they ended up divorcing. They didn't really get along the best, but I mean, when I was a kid, I didn't notice any of that. But when I got older, you know, there was some wounds in my life. And when I got to the point in my teens is when I started, you know, smoking dope and getting high before I went to school. And I mean, I would literally, you know, sneak beer into school. And it was just at that point in my life, it was the people I was associating with. And I look back at the different people that I started associating, and that's how I would never do any hardcore drugs, and I started hanging out with somebody else and started doing cocaine, and it was all the association, the people that I associated with, and it just kept getting darker and darker and darker, and you know, but the Lord pulled me out of it, you know, at a time where I look back now and I just know that I wouldn't be here right now. So I see these things going on, and I hear these stories, and it just makes my love for the Lord just even more. You know, sometimes we don't appreciate what we have, but when you look at some other people's lives and stuff like that, And then you really reflect back. It's like, wow, that could be me, you know. So I thought that was kind of neat. So anybody else want to reflect back or share what they, you know, give the Lord thanks for where they're at?
I'd like to share a little bit.
Okay, go ahead, Julie.
Just that kind of what you guys are talking about right there with the different people and the associations and where we've all been and how the Lord saved us and stuff. And even my own life is the same way. I thank you, Lord. I'm like you, Tim. If the Lord hadn't saved me when he did, you know, I'm sure I would have been in a much different place and none of it good. But anyhow, one of the things that the Lord has shown me, and he had me do a word study on some things. So I went through some stuff and just by associations with the wrong people, because it's in the Bible and how, you know, bad company corrupts good morals. And I know what I used to be, and I know how things can change just by the associations with the wrong people, whether in the church or not in the church. It's who you let in and who you listen to. And I've heard David say it so many times. Brother David says it's so important who you listen to, what you listen to, who you let sit next to you, and those kind of things. Well, one of the word studies the Lord had me do was the word leaven. You know, when Jesus said to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the scribes, and I did a word study on a lot of those scripture words. But leaven is a high estate of fermentation. It's a bread of corruption. It's spreading through mass where mixed symbolize perverse character of evil, corrupt doctrines, in foods especially, like old leaven. The source is from without. It's secret in operation. It's widely diffusive, being able to change the particles it comes in contact with into its own nature, with propagating power. The word propagating, I looked up the word propagating, and it's spread, to spread, promote, own theory, idea, opinion, or belief. And so when I was looking about that, about leaven and why it is so, how it can change the whole mass. And I was thinking about bread. When you make bread and you put leaven in it, it changes the whole source of the flour and the salt and all that stuff. It's fine. You don't really see it, and you can't see it because it's hidden. It's all mixed together. But once you pour water in it, and if that water is clean or unclean, I was thinking spiritually how that can corrupt. Well, and we have the leaven of Christ in us, and how that is also secret in operation because we're hidden. You know, it's hidden in its operation, but the wickedness and that of the old leaven, and how we have to be, you know, purge that out. The old leaven, the old ways of thinking, and disassociate yourself from people who are not good for you, and how the Lord will do that and bring in separation, you know, in our lives of that. But anyhow, I was just thinking about that, about people who can corrupt, and it's why it's so important when people do get in to a saving place where the Lord has saved them, brought them out, and got them the help that they need, and how easy it is to gravitate back to that old nature, that old way of doing things, and your old thinking, and how important it is. Why it's so important to stay away from those who can corrupt you, the things of the world and the leaven of the world, if you will, you know, all kinds of lessons you can take from that. But anyhow, I was just thinking about that. I wanted to share what the Lord had shown me about that, just that word and what it is, and it just changes the whole mass. The whole mass of wherever it's mixed into. It can change the whole being, the whole nature.
Yeah, that's good. Because I did a study like that too, and you just see, and that's where that scripture, a little leaven leavens a whole lump, and but we're really, what I've been seeing is, you know, we're really kind of a gullible, you know, people. You know, we believe just about anything we're told, and you know, we believe what we read on the internet, and like, even when I was growing up, I remember that I didn't know anything about God or Jesus or anything. Never went to church, but I do remember talking with somebody at school. You know, I was probably in junior high or something like that, and I remember him telling me something about something spiritual, you know, and it was New Age, I'm sure, and but to me it was like, oh, that sounds, because I didn't know anything, I had nothing to, you know, it was like, oh yeah, that sounds cool or something like that, and for a while I believed that, and but we are a gullible people, and you know, and I just see where, you know, the people we associate, who we listen to, I mean, it's just. Yeah, I mean, just you turn on the news or, you know, the politics or anything like that, and it's just, you know, they're all lying, you know, and it's just, but most of America believes everything they're told, and they think that the evening news would never lie to them, and, you know, Obama's the greatest, and, you know, it's just, we're really a gullible people, and, and even when I, you know, started, you know, went into church, I was just believing everything the pastor said. I never looked, you know, he would pull out one little line and use that line to get his point across, but would never read the scripture before it or the scripture after it. And when I was challenged by David to really study the word, and you started seeing these little things that was, you know, they would just pull one little line out and, well, this is what the word says, and then, you know, teach a whole sermon on it. And I realized it was that really wasn't the word of God, but I believed everything was there because I was gullible and I was lazy. I really didn't take the time to search out the word. And, you know, I just see, and somebody had told me years ago that it's really the people that are in your path. I mean, if God wants to bless you, he'll put somebody in your path. If Satan wants to curse you, he'll put somebody in your path. And if you don't have the truth, you know, the other thing I didn't realize is looking at fruit. I knew, I dated a girl when I was growing up. Her dad was very wealthy, and he was a president. It was actually Glidden Paint, and but man, I could talk to him, and I loved talking to this guy. But the thing was, at the time, I didn't know is this guy had the fruit, and you know, when I was in, you know, different situations, it was even coming up through. I mean, I remember there was a girl in my office that was getting marriage counseling from a woman who was divorced. And when I came to the Lord and I started seeing things like that, it's like, where's the fruit? So when I really understood, you know, what it was to, you know, look at the fruit that, you know, that people have, you know, it was just kind of a neat situation, as, you know, as far as to, you know, full understanding. But so it is kind of neat to look back at, you know, the people that were in our lives and how they took us, you know, different turns. And I know the Lord allowed a lot of it. You know, I'm sure he Lord, you know, he allowed a bunch of it, but it was all different lessons. you know, looking back, and different paths I took, and even in Christianity, even coming out of the church, and you know, I went down some, you know, got involved in a home church, and which totally crashed and burned. I got, you know, involved in another family that, you know, we really, it was kind of leaning more towards community, you know, like I don't know, they, you know, it was just kind of a different thing, and then the Lord kind of opened our eyes to that, and you know, we, you know, the different steps that we took, you know, we started even running after some Judaism. We started celebrating Hanukkah and looking at the, you know, the, you know, being, you know, under the law and stuff like that. So the Lord took us down all these different paths, and then eventually led us to David and challenged us to get into the Word and back everything up with the Word, and that's really when our lives started to turn around. So it's kind of neat. So,
you know, we've got a good example of just that back in Deuteronomy 7 when Israel was told to go into the Promised Land, and the Lord told him, he said, remove all the idols out of there. And kill everybody, you know, kill them all. And but they didn't. They backed off. And what happened? Two generations later, they were completely backslidden. And that's why God wants us to separate from the ungodly. He wants us to separate even from the apostate religions, because then we won't be, as Julie was talking about, we won't be leavened by that. We want to be leavened by the Word of God and not the bad water or the bad milk. Excuse me. We want to be leavened by the good milk or the good water. And that's a good analogy of what's going on, you know, in our lives. We've been separated from all of that. And we know that if we fellowship with unrighteousness, then that unrighteousness will rub off on us at some point in time. And so that's a good observation.
I have a question. When I know we're not supposed to fellowship and partake of the Word with, you know, the apostate and the ungodly and all that, and those who, well, I guess how am I supposed to phrase this question, but we're still supposed to be witnesses, and we're still supposed to be light to those who don't have it. And I guess I need to know maybe better how to be that, because Jesus, you know, not we all have Jesus in us, and we're all witnesses in that, but how we are to be able to bring that into their lives. I mean, Jesus sat with the sinners, you know, as far as, because they came to him because of who he was. And I know that that's, we're supposed to, you know, lift the Lord up, and we are lights, and we're salt and all that. And I guess I'm just still trying to learn the balance on where that all is, you know, not to associate. But I know God's given me opportunities at times to be a witness, and even at work, you know, just the people he has in my life. But, and I know you all do that too. There's got to be some balance there as far as, we're not to receive what they have as far as and accept that. But, you know, I guess God also is looking out for us, that he's not going to put me in a position or a place where, you know, any kind of, I don't know, compromising situation or something where I would have to I'm having trouble getting this out. But we also, you know, have being able to say why, you know, we are the way we are, what God has done for us, and that kind of thing, and be a light, but at the same time not partake of what they have and what in their ways. You know what I mean? What I'm trying to say?
I think so.
I was really not here. I was really not articulating anything I was trying to say. But
well, that's fine. Let me, I think I know what you're saying, and I'll kind of share what I do is when I go out, I just try to be a light, and I just try to speak encouragement. And what I speak biblical, you know, truths, but I'm not saying the word says this or this or this. I'm not trying to necessarily preach to them or convert them or get them to believe what my beliefs are or anything like that. I try to basically, because, you know, I talk to people all the time, and you know, one part of conversation they might be talking God, and then the next part of the conversation they might be talking whatever, you know, going to the doctor and this and that, or, you know, whatever it is. And I, you know, I won't go to correct them and, you know, type thing. But what I try to do is if I do share with them, I try to share testimony, and, you know, and I don't try to get into a lot of scripture or anything like that. I just try to share testimony of what God has done in my life, or share something that I've seen God do. And, you know, instead of trying to get into teaching them or converting them or anything like that, you know, if they say something where it doesn't line up, you know, if they're talking about being raptured out of here, I'm not going to get in a debate of them, you know, as far as, well, I don't believe we're going to be raptured out or anything like that, because it never goes anywhere. They want to believe what they want to believe. But there's times where I do get somebody that I see that's hungry, that they're asking me, you know, a question or, you know, or something, or I don't understand this, then the door is open. But I try to, in a way, steer the conversation, but I can, you know, as soon as I get to a roadblock or see where they're at, or I don't want to get into debating or anything like that, because that's just a demon, that's just a devil, and, you know, it's just a religious spirit or whatever it is. And, you know, so I just, but then if I get somebody who's hungry and wants the truth, then I'll start getting into scripture. You know, I'll try to open the door with, you know, just little testimonies or whatever it is. And then if they start asking questions or whatever it is, I mean, you know when somebody's hungry. If they're not hungry, because most of the people I talk to, they believe, they know the word, they believe they're saved, they believe they're being raptured out of here, they believe all these things. And I just haven't had a lot of success turning them, you know, I might throw something out, you know, and I've done this a few times of, you know, what if you're not raptured out, then what? And they just, that just freaks them out and, you know, whatever. But what I've really seen work is I just try to be a light, and I try to, speak, you know, biblical principles without quoting, well, the word says this, or the Bible says this, or you need to do this. And I share testimonies. You know, if they're dealing with something, I'll share them a testimony of what God did in my life, or somebody on the conference call that's dealing with the same thing, or the answered prayer I've seen and stuff like that. And then from there, I'll see if, you know, if there's truly an open door there, you know, then a lot of times I'll ask the Lord, sometimes I'll throw a fleece, or sometimes I'll really know. If they're truly hungry, I might give them a UBM book. If they're not, you know, if I don't see a hunger there, if I don't think they're going to read it, or they're just going, you know, I'm not just going to give out, you know, a book to, you know, give out a book. But sometimes I might even give out a Sovereign God book, you know, if I know somebody's really hungry. So I don't know, does anybody else have a feedback on... Is that sort of addressing what you're saying, Julie?
Yeah, it really is just kind of being led of the Lord, and because there are definitely times I just run into a brick wall, and it really is being merciful and, you know, weak to the weak and just listening and seeing where they're at, you know, testing the waters and see where they are. And I've had the same circumstances with people who are very religious and they're very much sure that they are going to be raptured and they're, you know, they're dead set on things. And it's hard to talk to those people, so I kind of, you know, just be quiet and pray for them because, that helps. I mean, I guess it more or less confirmed for me what I'm doing then is pretty much what everyone else, or what you're saying is what you're doing too.
I'd like to interject something here, if I might. I had an instance that happened to me the other day. I had a sister that wanted some counseling about, she was selling a vehicle, and she thought this guy was a Christian, and he's a young man, he's 21, 22 years old, and she didn't really know what to do, because what he wanted her to do was to lie about how much the vehicle was so that his taxes wouldn't be so high. And she wanted to know what she should do. I said, well, you need to be a light to him so that he would understand that when you call yourself a Christian, that you go by Christ's principles, and lying's not one of them. And she said, oh, yeah, okay, that sounds good. And so when you do things like that, you are a light to them. They see that you are walking that walk, and you are an example to them when you don't go with the world and do what the world does, you know, just because it's going to save you a few bucks. But you go ahead and, you know, I don't know if she ever sold the vehicle or not, but at least she was a light to that young man, and it's going to make him start thinking about what a Christian really is, you know. So that might help you in a sense too. We can't even tell a so-called white lie. The Lord has been convicting me of even telling stories that were slightly not right, just so to get somebody to laugh. And that's just on me now. I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about Michael Hare, and convicted me on that. And so I had to repent of that. He is getting us to the point to where we are a spotless and blemishless people so that we can be that bright light walking down here where they can see it and understand it and know. They know that you're a Christian. They know that you are Christ-like. And that when you open your mouth, ain't nothing but the Lord going to come out. And they're going to hear it. And when the time comes, that's when it's all going to fruit out. That's when the blossom's going to fruit out, and people are going to come to you, and they're going to want to know, you know, what you know. So I thought that might help a little bit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that did, Michael. And I see that too with associations like at work, you know, where the, you know, how ethical and, you know, it is just being completely honest about everything. Amen.
Yeah, Tim.
Go ahead, Marlon.
Yeah, I just share what the Lord showed me, and I had to learn this the hard way when we start doing work at the detention centers, was when he opens it up for you to share with them, it will bear fruit, but if he doesn't, you really just are wasting your time, because if you try and force something on people, it don't work. And when you learn to recognize when the Lord opens it up, everything just works a lot better. And like I say, I went through quite a few times learning the hard way, trying to force things, and I learned that that don't work.
Tim?
Yes, Linda?
You know, with what Michael was saying, I looked up this scripture in Ephesians 5:4, and it's talking about foolish talking, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, you know, or joking. That's what Michael was talking about, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. God doesn't want us to jest, you know, and tell jokes and stuff. I guess our yay needs to be yay or nay, nay. And God's really streamlining me, too. I mean, he's just helping all of us in that area.
Amen. Amen. Now, I've had, just this week I went up and I needed some little, I had to fix something in my shower, and I used like a regular screw and it started to rust, and the rust was running, you know, it down. And so I had to run up and get some, you know, small stainless steel screws. And I went up there and I wasn't sure exactly what size I needed. And so I got like two of three or four different sizes, and they were like 21 cents each. And, you know, two at, you know, were 22 and two were 24 and whatever it was. And, you know, I went up there and I'm thinking I'm paying 24 cents for this tiny little screw. And, you know, in my heart, it was like, well, they're all 22 cents, right? You know? And the Lord just brought a conviction. It's like, no, I got to, okay, two at 21, two at 22, two at, you know, and it was just, I mean, it was, that's a little white lie. You know, you go up there and it's, you know, they're probably paying a penny a piece for them or whatever, but it doesn't matter. It's, you know, you need to be honest. And I've had situations where I've gotten out to my car and I lift up a bag and there's, you know, there's something laying, you know, underneath the bag that I didn't pay for that might be a buck. And I've walked in and I've said, I need to pay for this. And, you know, it might have been something that was, you know, a dollar. And they're like looking at me like, why? You know, I couldn't believe I came back in the store to pay for something that was a dollar. And then I'll just share my faith with them. Say, no, I mean, this is, you know, that's stealing. And in the Lord's eyes, it's not right. And I just, you know, just want to make sure I pay for, you know, what I brought home. And I remember this one time I did that, and this girl's just shaking her head, you know. But it was a witness. It was a witness to her. So it was, she's like, wow, that's really... You know, and I could tell she was kind of thinking, "What, you know, I wouldn't have done that." And it's just those things that, you know, you have no idea. Could be a seed. Somebody else could water it, or they could get convicted. You know, you don't know. The Lord can do anything. So,
you know, similar thing happened to David and I. We were checking groceries out at Walmart, those self-checking thing, and we messed up something. I don't know. Anyway, the girl had to come over there and fix it. It was one of the last items that we had scanned, and she came over, and it took her, I don't know, 5 minutes to fix it. We're standing around, and once she got it fixed, we just pushed the groceries right on outside the door. Went on out to the truck, and going up to the driveway, I said, "David, did we pay for these things?" He said, "I didn't. I thought you did." I said, "No, I thought you was paying for it." And I called back up there and I told the lady, I said, "I need to talk to the cashier down there." And I told her where it was. And she got on the phone and I said, "I think we just walked out with some groceries." She said, "Yep, I know you did." And she said, "But I couldn't remember myself whether you had paid or not." She said, "But it will find out." I said, "Well, I'm coming back down there and we'll pay for it. We'll pay for everything." And so we came back down there and paid for it. And she said, "Well, I'm really surprised that you came back." She said, "Most people don't come back." I said, "Well, we were Christians and that's just the way we live. We like to make things right." And that just floored her. But anyway, that was just a typical thing that happened to me and David once last year.
All right. Anybody else have any thought or any comments?
Hello.
Hey, Linda.
I'm just so thankful that God chastises us so that we can shape up. You know, because people around us, you know, joking, for instance, there's so much of that, and for people to laugh, you know, that's great, but we can't do that anymore. Our nays have to be nay, and our yay, yay. Everything else is, you know, confusion, I guess. And I'm just thankful that God is helping us understand that He's serious about that and letting us shape up. So I'm just thankful today.
Amen. Yeah, I think that, I don't know, I think there's a little bit of a line there because I know with Michael and I mean, we do joke around, but jesting, how I see jesting, and somebody else can throw a comment out on this, is when you're, you know, kind of poking at somebody else to make a joke, that's, you know, it's kind of a dig into somebody. I mean, my family is famous for this. I mean, it was cut somebody, you know, make fun of somebody so everybody else can laugh and point out the things you've done wrong in your life so everybody can laugh about it. And I kind of grew up with, I mean, that's the extreme of it. But I think as Christians, I mean, you know, I think he can joke around, but jesting is, you know, what I feel, and Michael can kind of throw in on this too, is just, you know, where you're kind of poking fun at somebody, you know, type thing, which, you know, you're kind of stepping over the line is what I'm kind of feeling on that. Because Michael and I have a good time together. We kind of joke around with each other and stuff like that. But I think there's a difference between joking and just and jesting. So what do you think, Michael?
Yeah, there is a fine line. And you got to know the difference from putting somebody down so that you can make somebody else laugh. I don't think God's, that's what he's dealing with me about. And, you know, each person has to find out from the Lord where they are in that respect. But yeah, like Tim says, we joke around a lot. We all like to laugh, and laughing's good. But there's a time for laughing, and then there's a time for seriousness, as Linda was talking about. But to put anyone down, we shouldn't do that. And that's what the Lord kind of convicted me of. And so that's kind of, I go along with what you say, Tim.
Matthew 5:37 says, "Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than those cometh of evil." So, you know, there's got to be a balance, like you say.
Amen.
I have a little bit of comment on that.
Go ahead.
I hear what you're saying. I get it. It's like jesting and having fun with one another. But I can see where, and this has happened to me before, that unless you know the person well enough and you know how they're going to receive it, you could easily offend somebody with your words.
Oh, that's very true. That's very true.
That might be what that scripture is, where, you know, about jesting in no filthy talk, nor foolishness, talking or jesting, which are not befitting, but rather giving thanks. That was in Ephesians 5 that Linda had read. But it's just, you don't know how maybe the person might be offended unless you know them real well. And I know you guys get around with each other. You guys know each other really well, so...
Right,
being offended, you don't want to offend anybody. The word of God offends those who don't want to believe or receive it. But you know how our words have power. That was the only thing I could think of, is the adjusting part.
No, that's true. And Michael and I have both said things that we wish we could have taken back. You know, so there's and that's part of that learning type thing. But yeah, it is, you know, because I don't, I mean, I'll, you know, I do have a sense of humor, and when I'm out with people I don't know, it's totally different than, you know, people I know. When I'm out with people I don't know, I'm trying to, because the people I see, the people I run across when I'm out in the stores, the, you know, the girl checking me out or whatever it is, most people are, I mean, they just, they're dead. They're, you know, a lot of them are, you know, you go up there and they're just, I mean, it's, you know, you can tell that something's bothering them. You can tell they're dealing with something. You can tell they're just, you know, they're just kind of blank. They're kind of, you know, whatever. So I just try to bring out some, you know, try to get them to just smile is really my goal is, you know, it's in, how you doing today? And they start telling me all their issues and stuff like that. Then I'll try to turn it around and bring out the positive and try to get them to smile or laugh or that, and just try to, you know, just, you know, bring out more of a light, or just try to, just be very, very kind to them. And I've had people just, you know, tell me that, wow, I wish I had more customers like you, or, you know, your breath of fresh air or whatever, you know, type comments, just because you're just, you know, you're focused in on them, not on yourself. And, you know, and most people in this world, they're going around, they've got all kinds of insecurities, fears, issues going on in their home life and their finances or whatever it is. And they're consumed with that, and they're being stolen from. So that's when I, you know, when I say just being a light, I just try to just go out there and just try to lift people up and try to get them to smile, and, you know, try to, you know, say, you know, something about, you know, praising the Lord, or, you know, try to open the door and just see where the conversation goes. And sometimes it doesn't open and I just stop at that, and other times it opens, and I, you know, I've been many times I'm at the checkout line and I'm praying with somebody, and can I pray? They don't expect me to grab their hand or you know, anything like that and pray. And when I do it, you know, sometimes they freak out, but, you know, it's kind of funny when there's three or four people on the line and I'm praying with the checkout girl, you know, and Trish is just like, oh, here he goes again, you know. But I love it. I just, when the Lord opens the door, I just, you know, I just want to be a light, and I want to, you know, just pray for people. So it's kind of neat. All right, anybody else?
You know, one of the first things I learned when I came here, this was about three and a half years ago, I'd been poking fun at this brother because I'd seen other people do it, you know, and didn't think anything of it. And boy, he accosted me one day, and he told me how much he detested being poked fun of, and he had a spirit of rejection. And you know, I told him, I said, well, I'm sorry, I just kind of was going along with everybody else. And he said, I understand. He said, but it just hurts me to my core. And of course, he's changed a lot since then. Praise God, and I have too. And so I knew right then that I had to watch what I said around people with spirits of rejection. And you don't know who has that spirit of rejection. If you've got a spirit of rejection and somebody pokes fun at you, a lot of times, I guess it goes right straight to your heart, and you feel like you've been rejected again. And there you go. You see, you're back into condemnation, and it's just, you're right. We have to watch what we say to everybody. If you don't know them, intimately, you know, you don't know their personality, you don't know their character, you don't know where they are in the Lord, just best thing to do is just go along with them and, not poke fun at them. And, you can get them to laugh in other ways other than that. You can put joy in their life in other ways by exhorting them and encouraging them, like Tim was talking about, and praying for them. So anyway, I just thought I'd interject that because you can hurt people real bad and not even know that you did.
Yeah. That's, yeah, because that, I dealt with that spirit of rejection, and it'll take anything that's said or any situation and try to turn it that person doesn't like you, or because it's constantly telling you you're not worthy, you're not capable, you're just stupid, whatever it is. And if somebody's just having fun, it will just take that and say, see, he hates you just like everybody else. And it's just a lying spirit. That's where you got to be very careful as far as that. So, amen.
You know, Tim, that spirit of rejection, I didn't understand it when I first got here, because I've got hide like an alligator. I mean, it doesn't bother me. It just floats right off of me. When somebody makes fun of me, it doesn't bother me. Never has. Even when I was in the world, it didn't bother me. I ain't got time. You know, that's my thoughts were, I ain't got time for somebody, you know, this kind of stuff to dwell on what somebody else thinks about me. And I was, I guess, gifted in that area. There's other ways that I failed miserably, but in that area, it didn't bother me too much. And so those kind of people like myself, it's very easy to hurt somebody and not know that you've hurt them. And so that's why as Christians, we have to be very cognizant of what we say to people that we don't know.
Yeah, and that's because Trish is like you, Michael. I mean, there's just nothing, as far as that, nothing really, you know, bothered her when it came to if somebody said something or whatever it is. But and that was, you know, when she was in the world and growing up and stuff like that, it was, you know, just, and I think that's why, you know, the Lord put her with me, because he kind of, you know, kind of balances us out in different areas and that. But so she, you know, like you, really didn't understand the whole aspects of rejection. And really, I didn't understand it until really David brought out, you know, what the, you know, symptoms, what the thoughts, what, you know, those different things. And I realized, wow, that's me. I mean, I've walked in that my whole life. And even when I was in the deliverance ministry, I didn't understand a spirit of rejection. And until I heard David and him talking about, you know, being delivered of that. And then that's when, and it took a while with me as far as to, you know, because that spirit, even when you're delivered of it, is always trying to come back. And if there's an open door there, if you get in some sin, I mean, that's the first spirit that tries to come back on me. It's like, you know, see, it's, you know, and I hate that spirit. I absolutely hate that spirit. And me, I just, too. And it's destroyed so many people. I mean, I minister to a lot of people that deal with that spirit, and it's just a lying, stealing spirit. It's just, I hate that spirit. Amen. Who is that, Julie?
Yeah, I hate it too. I'm glad to hear you say that it keeps trying to come back on you, because that's one of the things that's one of my biggest battles too, is having to keep a guard over my heart about that and making sure that it's not gaining entrance. And I guess it's because the days we're in and Satan wants to working on our weaker areas, I guess, where we might still be weak.
Yeah, he's looking for any opportunity, but the things that I just know with me, because I just, you know, and the Lord is just constantly working on me. And you think, well, you should know better.
Oh, I've heard that one before.
Yeah.
Should've known better.
But
oh, there you go, getting into works again. Now I'm condemned. Yeah, I should've known better. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. But, you know, and I just went through a little bit of a trial where I just, you know, I didn't realize it, but I was kind of judging somebody, and it just opened up the door, and that rejection was trying to come in, and just doubt was trying to come in, and you know, I get in this like little tailspin, questioning what I'm doing, and you know, am I hearing from God, and is this what I'm supposed to be doing, and all these things. And Trisha's like, "What is going on?" You know, it's just I get in this like tailspin, but everything I'm focusing on, and I'll take it before the Lord and I'll be praying, but really what the open door is I had some judgment over something, and the Lord is just not putting up with that. So, you know, so it's kind of, but that's the first spirit. It's that, you know, I mean, that's one of the spirits that just, I mean, he's always knocking at the door. You crack that door a little bit, and he's the first one there, you know. So, but that's what I see.
You know, Tim, that's why God has made a body, because the area that I'm strong in, you might be weak in. The area that I'm weak in, you're strong in, and that way we can encourage one another in those weak areas that we have. And I believe that's why God has brought us all together, so that we can help one another in these weak moments that we have. The problem is, a lot of times that we don't want to let somebody else know that we're having a problem, when in fact God wants us to do that. He says, you know, confess your sins one to another. And when you do that, you talk about freedom. Glory to God, it's freedom. So I believe that's why God puts all his people together in groups, where you've got a weak one here and a weak one over here, but he's strong in this other area, and this one's strong in that area, and this one over here is strong in that area, and here's somebody weak over here, and we all can help one another get through these trials that we're in. Praise God. But we just have to make sure that we open up our mouth and ask for prayer to begin with. And God will do it, and that's why he put the body together. It's a body. It's not a finger over here and a toe over there and an ear over here and a nose over there. No, we're all one body. We're the branch off the vine, and what feeds the branch is coming from the vine. That's Jesus. It feeds us all, every one of us. Ain't nobody out there got any kind of, shouldn't be proud about nothing, because you didn't do nothing. It all coming from Jesus and God the Father. God the Father's the husbandman. Jesus is the vine. We're the branch that's going to bear the fruit of the vine. And the only way we can bear that fruit of the vine is with the help of each other, you know, helping and allowing that nutrients from the vine to get to us, and we all help in that respect. So yeah, that's a good way to that's why God brought us all together, is to lift up one another in those weak and strong areas, that we can help one another. Amen.
But that's an area that, I mean, you kind of hit on a couple things, because I've been there, where Trish might see something in me, or somebody in the body might see something. Are you doing okay? And inside, I might not be doing okay. I might be, you know, dealing with some doubt or what, you know, or whatever's going on. But you kind of, oh yeah, I'm fine. And all you're doing is protecting that stupid demon. When you say, yeah, everything's great, yeah, I'm doing okay, you know, when inside you're really not. And because there's times when Trish will come to me and says, what's up? Something's going on, or whatever it is. And I'm like, I'm good. But, you know, I might have woke up with some heaviness, or, you know, I might be dealing with a stupid thought, you know, over something. And, you know, and I just, but it's, yeah, I'm cool. But I'm really not. I really need prayer. I need to really expose it. I really need to dig in and get the root. And, you know, but what I'm learning is the quicker I can expose it, the quicker I can get out of that trial, or get that heaviness off me. Because there's a lot of times where I wake up in the morning, and a lot of times it's still dark out. You know, I wake up early, and I'm, you know, and I just kind of lay there in bed, and every once in a while, I'll just get a stupid thought in my mind, it could be rejection trying to come back in, or whatever it is. And if I start entertaining that thought, I could get out of bed with a heaviness on me, and if I don't get into the Word or something like that, and I just try to go through with my day, I mean, the whole day will just be a, you know, just a heavy day. But and that's really, I'm really trying to learn to just get up and get with the Lord, get quiet, see if there's anything there. And if I can do that, my day is just much better when I start off with the Lord. So just encouragement to everybody else. Just get quiet, see what thoughts are in your head, see if there's any lies there, any heaviness there, or any criticism there, or any frustration, whatever is, you know, whatever you're dealing with, man, just give it to the Lord, and just, if you can, just, you know, stay in His presence until that heaviness is gone. You know, just, you know, it's just in your head. It's just a lie. And then, you know, then get on with your day. Amen. All right, who else has got a thought?
I'm with Joe, yeah?
Hey, Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just have a question, just for interest for me in South Africa now. Michael was telling that he was at Walmart and he was scanning everything himself and he was just walking out. Just for interest, how do they know people don't steal there?
People steal here.
Okay. No, just in Africa, everything's done for you.
Everything's what?
You have to have a cashier scan it for you, and you have to pay for it. It would be a chaos if that's something I can, like, yeah.
Okay. Well, here they have self-checkout where you're actually the cashier, and you scan your own products and put it in a bag, and they do have a scale on there, so when you scan it and put it in the bag, it knows, you know, that you put it in the bag. But it might say, you know, I mean, there's ways of getting around that. But but the you know, there is a girl there that might be watching six, you know, different scanners as far as that. So it's So you don't have anything like that in Africa?
No. It will be chaos, yes.
I don't know. I guess they look at it, you know, that they're saving, six cashiers at $8 or $10 an hour. I'm sure, I mean, the person that's there is supposed to be watching, but it's a way that people can, you know, get by with stuff. But I don't know. I'm sure they've got it figured out that they're still making money on it.
Well, you know, they have those scanners when you go out the door. You think that thing would set off all kinds of buzzers and whistles and all that kind of stuff, but it never did. We just tooled right on out there like we knew what we was doing.
Was it always like that?
The what?
Was it always like that, check out, doing it yourself?
No, yeah, they've been out for how long, Michael? I mean, they've been out for at least 10 years.
Yeah, probably 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, they still have girls. I mean, if you don't want to do that, they still have checkout people. So they might have, I mean, like when I go up there, they might have, you know, five or six lines, but the self-checkout, there's usually not a line there. And you can, if you don't have a lot of stuff, I mean, if you got a half a cart or something, or I go through it anyways because it's quicker for me. Even if I have a full cart, I just do self-checkout. And it's, you know, I've got it down to a science, so I know how to look up the produce and all that stuff. So a lot of people are intimidated by it, but to me it's quicker. So it's just
yeah, that's what I use all the time.
So
thank you.
Okay. So that's something, you know, seems kind of standard or kind of normal here, but.
Well, that's just in Walmart. Now, the grocery stores don't have that, do they, Tim?
Yeah. I mean, if you go on
City, that's right. Food City's got it. Yeah, that's right. They do. Okay. Yeah, I'm wrong.
So, I don't know, you know, if Target or anything like that has it, but it's mainly the grocery stores that I know of. So, but I really don't see self-checkout being at a Best Buy or anything like that, you know?
No, Best Buy, they got security cameras, AK-47. Yeah, at that door with that computer you got under your arm.
So, but it was kind of funny because I know in Ohio when they came out with that, Ohio's a big union city, and I mean the unions just fought that, and you know they'd be out there, you know, telling people coming through the self checkout line that you're costing jobs and all this stuff, and I mean they really fought that in the beginning, but now it's pretty much common in just about every grocery store. So
we have not here, and I noticed that. The only time we can't use the self-checkout here is like if you're buying alcohol. You can't. You have to go, even if you're only buying one like bottle of wine or something, you have to go through the line and have them check out. It's because they have to check make sure you're of age, that kind of thing. But I use them all the time, too. They're much more convenient.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, anyways, anybody else have any thought? I did this Sandy that we're talking about that just she just lost her dad. I was there last night, and I was talking to her husband, and this is before she knew. But what happened was, is the Lord gave Sandy three dreams, and in these dreams she was going to Virginia, which they had planned, and they went to Virginia to see her son just a few days ago. You know, they got back. And then it was in the dream, it was like 2 weeks later is what she thought, and she was going to California. So, and she had that dream three times. So what happened was, is they went to Virginia, and the place where her dad lives is Corona, California. And they were driving home, and she saw two trucks with license plates from Corona, California, in Virginia, which is on the other end of the United States. And she asked the Lord, she's like, Lord, is that the 2 weeks? I see the two trucks from Corona. So when she got home, and this was just yesterday, she asked the Lord, or the day after, I think it was, but yesterday she asked the Lord if she was going to be going to Corona in the next 2 weeks. And I forget what the scripture was, but she put her finger down on something about, you know, going, something to do with going. And, you know, and what happened was, is I stopped there last night because I needed, you know, chair, they had a bunch of fold-up chairs I needed for today. And so I was there about, it was like 7 or 8 o'clock last night, and picking up some chairs, and Jeff shared that with me, that she had gotten that word that they're going to be going to California. And then he right after they got that word, his mom called them, and that was like right before I got there, and said that that their father had, or her dad had fallen, and he was in the hospital, and he wasn't doing well. And then it was like 15 minutes after I left, she called back and said that he had passed. So I thought it was kind of neat how the Lord had, gave her three dreams, and she interpreted that, and, was asking the Lord as far as with this whole thing. So the Lord knew this was going to come about. But I think it's awesome how, now Sandy's a dreamer, and, but I think the Lord gives us all dreams. We just have to learn to move on those dreams and, take heed of the warnings, or bring forth what the Lord is showing us. Because I think that the more we exercise that gift, that the more that the Lord opens it up. And, but I thought it was kind of neat how the Lord had given her dreams, and she was able to take those dreams and ask for a word, and then just see the Lord in this whole thing. And I think it, played a little bit in, to help comforting, because I called Sandy today to see how she was doing and prayed with her and that. But it was, the Lord was, forewarning her basically in a way of what was going to happen. So I think that it's kind of neat, how he can talk to us in dreams, and then, how we seek out the dream, that he can kind of, put together the whole, what Amen. He's trying to show us. Amen.
Amen. Early on, when I first met Sandy back in Arkansas, she'd tell me about these dreams, and I'd try to spiritualize them, and, oh, that's this, or, oh, that's that. That's what that means. That don't mean what you think it means. This is what it means, And this, and the dream came to pass, literally. And I said, uh-oh. And so she had a couple more dreams, and I tried to spiritualize those, Oh, that don't mean what you think it means. It means this over here, because just a spiritual dream, That's what I thought. And then they came to pass. I said, uh-oh. She has dreams most of the time about what's going to transpire in the future. Her dreams are literal most of the time. 90% of the time, they're literal. And I finally figured that out after about the third or fourth time that happened, that those things came to pass, And so now I look at them in the literal. Now, she had that dream when we were in Arkansas about the earthquake or the volcano erupting in New York City and cause an earthquake all up and down the East Coast. And then she saw the cracks going out to the New Madrid and setting the New Madrid off. And then the New Madrid going out, setting the cracks off out to the San Andreas Fault, and also back to Tennessee to set off that fault. And that's, she had that dream four times. She had it three times, or two or three times in Arkansas, and then a couple of times here. So I don't remember what it was, but they were exactly the same. And she had a dream that while she was in California, a time that she was in California, that she heard on the TV about an East Coast earthquake, and that it wasn't as bad as what she had seen herself in the dream. And she said right then, she said in the dream, she said, well, that's wrong. That's a bad earthquake. I know, because I saw it. And the Lord told her right then in the dream, said, you have 3 days to get back to Tennessee. And so when that happened, she was out there, and she brought her in the dream, brought her mother back. And the only way she could bring her mother back would be because her dad had already passed on, gone on to the Lord. Now, this looks like this is fixing to play. Like Tim said, she had the dream about going to Virginia and then going back, and 2 weeks later going out to California. Well, that's coming to pass, because they're going out to California to take care of her mother and also to bury her dad. And then we might be right here on the edge, on the very verge of this great earthquake that's fixing to take place. Now, when these earthquakes start, I don't believe there's going to be a stopping of them. I think they're just going to keep on and on and on and on, because when God starts the judgment, he's not going to stop it like he has on 9-1-1, where people go to church for a couple of weeks and then they go back to doing what they was doing before. It's going to happen from now on. People's going to have to get their eyes focused on Jesus in order to survive this thing. So that's it looks like we're right there. I believe that when she goes out there and this East Coast quake happens, they're going to say something like, well, it wasn't but just a couple of thousand people died, when there's probably a couple of maybe 100 million died. I don't know. You know, I don't know whatever God's got in mind. But just beware, when that earthquake happens on the East Coast, 3 days later, that one in New Madrid is going to go off too. So if you're anywhere close to that New Madrid line, you need to be seeking the Lord to find out if he's going to protect you there or he wants you to move. So these are dreams that are coming to pass that Sandy's had here, and well, others as well, not just Sandy. There's others had dreams of these earthquakes happening as well. Sandy's just happened to be, she saw the Great Lakes emptied out. She came from New York. The Lord took her from New York over the Great Lakes, and the Great Lakes were emptying out, going down the New Madrid, down the Mississippi, and just flooding the whole Midwest. Just flooding the whole Midwest. And of course, she saw crevices. She said it looked like it was about 50 miles wide. That's devastating. You know, if you go from Chicago to St. Louis and then on down to Memphis and then, you know, maybe even all the way down to Louisiana, that's a lot of folks. That's a lot of folks. Now, we've had a lot of dreams and words about Memphis just disappearing. And that's right there at the New Madrid. You know, New Madrid, Missouri is just maybe 150 miles north of there, maybe 100 miles north. I don't know, whatever it is. So, but anyway, just a word there that you might be seeking the Lord about. Amen.
Amen. And, well, there's two things here is, I mean, just so you know, because I talked to her today, is that she doesn't think her mom's ready to come back because she knows that her mom's going to come to Tennessee, but she said that they might have to just go out there for the funeral and then at a later time go back to get her mom. So, you know, there could be another delay in here. I don't know, but I don't know. It could be this trip or possibly when she goes back, but it looks like there might be another trip back there. But, cause I've, in the past, we were talking, you know, one time and she was sharing that she's been getting just different things from the Lord, you know, back when she was even, you know, young. And, you know, she was sharing some stories where even when she was a kid, that she was playing in the sandbox one day and they were having a birthday party and they were going to go get, you know, the grandfather or somebody that was in a nursing home. Somebody was going to pick him up to bring him to the birthday party, and Sandy just started crying and crying and crying. Her mom came out and asked her why she was crying, and she said, you know, that Uncle so-and-so, you know, died. And, oh, no, you know, your brother, I don't know, somebody's going to get him, and he'll be here at the party. And she was just crying, and that person got to the nursing home, and he had just died. And You know, so Sandy's got, you know, just a bunch of different stories. And the thing is her family, which is, I mean, you know, her parents are saved in that. But, you know, she's got a lot of family there, I think, are Catholic in that. But, you know, some have come out of the church. And but they know that Sandy's dreams come true. And so the thing is this earthquake dream is the one that everybody's been waiting on, and even her family's been waiting on. You know, they know this dream, and they know her dreams come true. But this has been going on for a while. It isn't, you know, it isn't an instant, you know, type thing. So, but her family's even waiting as far as on, you know, because they, you know, they know her dreams, you know, that God speaks to her in her dreams. So it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out as far as that.
Another story about Sandy is she was adopted as a child, as a baby, into the family she grew up with in Corona. And she knew she had other brothers. But she didn't know where they were. And the Lord told her, said, move to Arkansas. So they're in Arkansas. And I may be getting a little bit, you know, I don't remember all the details of it. But essentially, the Lord took her to each brother that was here in Arkansas. Now, she had no other way of knowing because there was no records of them. None at all. She looked and looked and looked and couldn't find them. But the Lord told her right where to go and right where to be to meet those brothers. And she never met her mother either. She never did get to meet her mother. She almost met her right before she died. But she never did get to meet her. She got to talk to her on the telephone. But anyway, it's an amazing life that she's had because the Lord has been with her for a long time. Even when she was running wild, you know, the Lord would talk to her. So she's very interesting to talk to in that spiritual realm.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. I never heard that before. So it's amazing how the Lord can direct us. We just got to get focused in and get our ears open and just allow him to guide us. But for her to move from California to Arkansas and have the Lord lead her to, how many brothers did she have?
Let's see, there's one. I think she had four brothers. Three brothers.
Three brothers?
Yeah, I met all of them but one. And they're nice guys, you know. They're all just apostate religion. One of them's a Baptist preacher. The other one goes to a Baptist church. The other one, I think there's three of them. And the other one is just kind of halfway here and there, you know. But they all know since she has met them while she was in Arkansas. That's been, how long it's been? I don't know, 7, 8 years. That when she has a dream, they listen. Even they didn't know her that long, and they found out real quick, you know. Well, how'd you find me? Well, the Lord told me. Oh, come on now. No, the Lord told me. And of course, they know her. They know of her. They try to steer clear of her because they're scared that God's going to reveal something about him to her. And it's kind of awesome to watch. But anyway, she's a dreamer, like Tim said, but her dreams come to pass almost all the time.
Yeah, even on this last trip, they just went to Virginia to go meet her son. And the Lord gave her a dream about being in Virginia and meeting a friend of her son's, and she knew this guy's name, and it wasn't a real common name, but, you know, she knew this name in the dream, and she ended up talking to her son before they went there, and they were just talking and stuff like that. And he ends up, and, you know, and she doesn't know any of his friends. She's only been there once or twice, and, you know, as far as that. And so in their conversation, He mentioned that he had to go do something, and you know, with somebody or something like that. And the bottom line is she asked him, "Oh, who are you going with, or something like that?" And he says, "Well, you don't know him, but you know his name is this," and it was the same name that the Lord gave her in her dream. So,
the guy was talking to her about Christ, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Asking questions about Christ.
So she was. Go ahead. What was that? No, go on. I don't. What was his name?
I had it, but I don't remember now.
Okay.
Was it Rob? Was it Robin? Rob? I don't remember.
I don't remember. But yeah. So she was all excited because the Lord showed her that when she went on this, you know, this trip to Virginia, that she was going to be, you know, talking to this guy. And so, which, you know, I think is awesome, you know, when you could get to the point and just, you know, the Lord can show you, you know, what he wants you doing, you know, before, or where you're going to be or where you're going, or, you know, just, you know, giving guidance or giving warning or whatever it is. We just have to, we need to pray for that. Father,
Amen.
We just ask right now. That you've been speaking to Sandy in her dreams, and Lord, you're not a respecter of person. So, Lord, we ask that you will just open up your, basically our, whatever it is, as far as our spirit to hear from you in dreams. That, Lord, I know I dream, but when I wake up, I can't remember. I might have a tiny little snippet. But Lord, I just ask that you will just bring out the fullness of dreams, that you will help us all to remember our dreams, and that you will give us discernment of those dreams, that what you're trying to speak to us, direction, correction, warning, just, Lord, we just ask that you've spoken to many of your disciples and many of, you know, the people in the Word. You've used dreams, and you've sent angels to them in their dreams. And Lord, we just ask that you just open that up to us, Lord, that we want to use this gift. And we just ask, Lord, that you just open up our dreams and help us to remember them, and just us discernment. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, I just ask that when we have these dreams, that you make them so simple that we can understand them. You know, an old farm boy from Arkansas don't have a whole lot of discernment in that area. And Lord, I just ask that you either give us the discernment or just show us real simply what you want us to know. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Hey, Mike, have you read the book, The Curse Conquers, or The Tongue Conquers the Curse?
Yeah, okay. That's right. Okay.
You got the mind of Christ, man.
That's right. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I was declaring that last night. Funny there thing happened go. Last night, Tim. Can I relate it?
Sure.
I was going into the bathroom from up here. This is about 10 o'clock, a little after. And before I could get in there, the Lord says, "Why don't you pray in the Spirit?" I said, "Okay." And I prayed in the Spirit for almost a solid hour. And the Lord just dropped in and anointed me. And we just had a great time praying in the Spirit last night. Not only praying in the Spirit, but I prayed in English as well for the things that the Lord brought to my attention. And it was just an awesome time. And I've got, you know, we all have got to pray a lot more than what we have been, or I do. Anyway, I'm gonna talk about Michael. I have to start praying and interceding a lot more than I have been in the past. Praying is where we do our battles. Praying in the Spirit is where we do our battles. Praying in the Spirit also edifies your spirit, builds your spirit up, and it it's kind of like a nuclear reactor. The more you pray in the spirit, the more that nuclear reactor just starts buzzing, man, I'm telling you. And that's the power of God that's building up in your spirit. And it gives you that overcoming power for that next day when you do that, or that morning, you know, when you wake up, do it. Whenever you, you know, whatever's convenient for you. But make it a habit to do it every day. John G. Lake, somebody asked him one time, what was the essence of what did he think that made him so faithful or built his faith up? He said, well, talking in tongues, talking in the spirit, speaking in the spirit in my closet all the time. He said, long and every day, long and continually is the way he put it, something like that. And so what he was telling us is that the and Paul told us this too, it builds up your spirit man inside of you. And it allows you, gives you that overcoming power to overcome that sin for that day that's headed for you. And so when that sin comes up, you say, oh, there it is, in the name of Jesus, you know, and you can go to warfare. And you're also warned for other people when you speak in the spirit. Lord, speak through me the things that you want me to pray for my brothers out there. And he'll do it. And you'll feel the anointing. You'll feel the anointing. You have to get into it a little bit. Sometimes I just feel it right off the get-go, but sometimes it might be, you know, 15, 20 minutes before I do. But it comes, and you know that you know that there's angels around you. I knew there was angels all in this house last night. I couldn't see them, but I just had that. I knew that angels were in there, and they were headed to do whatever it is God wanted them to do because of the praying that he had asked me to do. And I'm going to continue to do that with his help, with his will. And his help, I'm going to continue to do that because I know that it does a lot of good. It does immensely well in the spiritual realm because those angels now got something to go with. They can take it and then go off into battle. So I just encourage everybody to do that, to pray in the spirit as much as you can. Amen.
Amen. I mean, that is such, when you're saying that, it's like I'm thinking, why don't I pray in the spirit? I mean, I pray in the spirit, but why don't I pray more often? It seems like the times I pray in the spirit is when I wake up in the middle of the night or I wake up early and I'll just start praying in the spirit. And usually to see if I fall back to sleep, but I'll pray in the spirit. Or there's times when I'm driving, for some reason, when I'm driving, I can pray in the spirit. But when I'm on the lawnmower trying to cut, there's times where I'm saying, I'm just going to pray in the spirit the whole time. And I'm in and out, in and out. It's like a battle. Or, you know, there's times where I'm trying to do other things and pray in the spirit. But, you know, I do pray in the spirit when I'm praising the Lord. You know, sometimes I'll just enter in and it's awesome. But man, I could pray in the spirit a lot more. And it just seems like the enemy does not want us praying in the spirit. It seems like there's a lot of, you know, I've just seen it when I'm cutting the grass or I'm trying to work in the yard or I'm trying to do things, and what, you know, I could just pray in the spirit while I'm doing this, and I'll start off, and then I'll realize that, you know, I'll start like four or five times. I was like, wow, why is it so difficult? So, but that's a good thing. I just to really press in and just nice. Pray. Amen.
Can I share a testimony on that too?
Sure.
There was this is a couple of years ago, and I was listening to a teaching. And just sitting here, and I started praying. And what the teaching was about is about the Holy Spirit and stuff. But this brother was talking about praying in the Spirit and praying as he was reading the Word and praying as he was listening to, you know, a Bible teaching or even somebody reading the Word. So I started doing that. I was sitting in my chair. I just started praying in the Spirit. I was just listening to him on this teaching and stuff. And after the teaching was over, I would continue to pray in the Spirit. I sat in my chair and prayed for like 4 hours in the spirit,
And during that time, I manifested different tongues, which was really awesome. And there was another time where the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night. I really felt impressed to get up, like he was to get up and pray in the spirit. And I did that, and I was praying in the spirit, and it was a different tongue. And I just felt that I asked the Lord, I was like, Lord, who am I praying for? And I heard in the spirit, I heard a woman's name, Jill. And I'm like, wow, he revealed to me that I was praying for a sister in the spirit. I don't know anyone, Jill. That's who it was. And I thought that was really awesome that happened. And there's been times too, like you, Tim, where wanting to be praying in the spirit, and it's like there wasn't anything there. And I'm like, Lord, anoint me to pray in the spirit. I need this, and I'm struggling in it. And where there was times I just couldn't even pray, and I'm like, what is on me that I can't even pray in the spirit? Because it's supernatural, but I would do it a lot. But there were times where there was just something I couldn't pray. I'm like, Lord, pour out your spirit on me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I need to be able to do this. And I really had to fight through that. And I kept asking for the God, for the Lord to for the anointing to do it.
Awesome. That's a good point there, because I've been there too. Where you just, there's something on you, you just can't pray, or you just can't get into it, or it's just a stronghold. So, amen. All right. Well, we kind of ran out of time here. Before we close out, does anybody need prayer? Any last comment before we close out? Well, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for just another time with you, time fellowshipping one with another, and we just praise you for that, Lord, that we can come together and share your greatness, Lord. And we just praise you for that, and share your testimonies, and share others' testimonies. And Lord, we just thank you for I just lift up Sandy to you, Lord, and we thank you for comforting her in this time. We thank you for comforting her family in this time. And Lord, we just know you've got a plan, Lord, and you've given her dreams, and we don't know when that's going to come about, but Lord, we just thank you for just using her as a vessel to bring forth just your dreams, your warnings, your direction, your correction, all that. And we just praise you for that, Lord. And we just thank you. You're going to do the same in us. So, Lord, just whatever gifts you put in us, just teach us to exercise those gifts and just to be used of you and to edify you and not to edify us. And Lord, we just thank you that for just all that you're doing in us to bring forth Christ in us and so we can be used in this end times, Lord. And we just praise you for that. And Lord, I just thank you for this day, and we just ask you just bless everybody's week and in these times, Lord, and just continue to guide and direct us, Lord. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just wanted to thank you and Michael for your wonderful ministry last night. I thought that was just so good, and just wanted to let you know, because it's the first time I had heard someone else besides Michael and David. So anyway, God bless you so good on those programs.
Well, thank you, Linda. Amen. All right, so... good night, everybody. We love you, and we'll see you Tuesday night.